Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, my wife and I, the other night, we went and watched this movie. It's actually a doc. Well, it's kind of like a docudrama. It's based on true facts, true story. And, you know, not to get political here, that's not my goal, but this isn't a political thing. This is a thing for the people of God to know about. But there's this movie that's come out. It's called Unplanned. And this movie has basically been the news media has tried to keep it from being talked about. You hear about it almost a lot of people haven't even heard of it. But the movie Unplanned is about a lady by the name of Abby Johnson, and she was the head of a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic, and she ended up, through the course of events, and I'm not going to give it all away, it's very graphic, but I think every person in this nation should see it and then make their decision based on that. It is absolutely horrendous what is happening out there. And like I said, she was the head of the abortion clinic, and she was turned one day. She had to assist with a certain abortion, and it was enough to turn her, and she was such a staunch advocate. In fact, she wasn't just an advocate for it. She was one of their highly decorated employees, and she, not performing them, but for convincing women that to get them. What's that? She was like the top salesman, basically. She had received awards and everything from Planned Parenthood. But it's something, you know, not to be political again. I understand that we have a lot of, a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different things. But the thing is that we're talking about here is innocent life. And when you actually see, and they show a portion in the movie, they show a portion of how horrific it actually is what they do. And they try to cover all this up, of course, because they don't want anybody to know about that. But this is what's happening in our nation today. We have a nation that is destroying innocent lives. And not just, I'm not going to get graphic, but I'm just going to tell you, they don't do it in a calm, safe manner, which is always talked about. They do it by literally ripping a baby apart. And they do it in horrific ways. And the one that actually, and I'm going to share this much because in case anybody wants to get political and hears this and wants to take it any further, the one that changed her, the one that she got to watch, she could see, because she had to hold the sonogram on the baby, and the sonogram literally showed the baby trying to get away from the suction tube that they were using. That's what's happening in this country. That's what that organization is doing. It's evil. It is not of God. And any Christian who supports anything like that needs to be ashamed of themselves. Any person who supports that without true knowledge, they need to get true knowledge and find out what it's really about, because that's what's happening in this country. It's disgusting. It's vile. And you wouldn't do it. We wouldn't be allowed to do that to a dog in this country. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's not my message today, but that was on my heart to share with you. Go out and see the movie. Not many people know. Probably won't be in theaters very long, but it's called Unplanned. But you can see it online. There's a lot of information. And there's another movie out too, actually, right now. It talks about another abortion doctor, but that's just another story. But it's real stuff, folks. Praise the Lord. It's real stuff, and it's horrendous, the things that are happening out there. But that's why we pray, amen, and that's why we learn the truth, because a church that won't teach the truth is a church that becomes a liability to the people. It isn't Lakewood. We had to go see it in Tinseltown because so that's in Erie. But I'm sure it'll be out on, DVD too, soon if you can't, within however long it takes if you can't get out to see it. But I highly suggest if you can to do it. Praise the Lord. Well, today's message, praise God, you're not going to believe this, but today's message is about peace. We're going to be talking about peace today. Hallelujah. And I know we have some pregnant ladies in here too, and I don't want to make you upset or anything. I know there's emotions and stuff like that. You're doing a great job. Thank God for wonderful women that are having babies, praise the Lord, and doing it right. Amen. Raising them in the admonition of the Lord. We love you, and we're standing with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called You Thought Peace Was Optional. You thought peace was optional. Why do we call it you thought peace was optional? Because a lot of people, is there anybody in here who's seeking peace in their life? peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of just peace of anything. You just want peace. Is there anybody who's ever sought peace? Praise the Lord. Well, see, we seek peace a lot of times. We'll even pray for peace. We'll go after God for peace, thinking that it's something that that maybe we'll get. But when we understand what God says in the Word about peace, then we understand that peace isn't optional. God actually didn't give us an option of peace. He said that you're supposed to live in peace. In fact, God said peace is not supposed to be just something that that we are seeking, but it is who we are. Amen. We are supposed to live in ultimate peace. That's what God's plan for us was. Amen. Of course, we saw that, and you know, I thought about all the scriptures that contain peace, and there's tons of them. Actually, I saw if you look in the Bible, I did a quick search in my Bible, and the word peace occurs in Scripture, New Testament and Old Testament, occurs in Scripture almost 400 times. Amen. And with that, it occurs almost 400 times, but that doesn't include all the other parts of peace. Like, I didn't look up peaceable or peaceful or, you know, all the other additions you can put on peace. And so we know that it's something that God wants for us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's something that that God has for us, something that we are supposed to exhibit. Amen. And we're going to start in Psalm. Psalms are always a good place to start. Amen. Praise the Lord. And just so you know, too, and I say this, I always want to throw this whenever I talk about something touchy like the abortion issue. I also want to say this, that we don't, you know, if you're somebody who's had one, we don't condemn people who have had one. You have to understand that if that's been something that is done, you know, you probably didn't have all the facts. In fact, I can guarantee you that you didn't, because most women having all the facts would never make that decision. But even if you did, and you're repentant of it, God will forgive you and stuff like that. So it's not something that we hold against people, but it's something we do need to stop. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 34, verse 14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Hallelujah. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The job of a Christian is to seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace at all costs. We need to be after peace like a dog on a hunt. It needs to be our goal in life. It needs to be how we strive towards. It needs to be what we are aiming for. Amen. In every area of our life, peace is what we need to be after. The Bible says, "Depart from evil and do good." Departing from evil is seeking peace, and seeking peace is departing from evil, because evil does it all. Evil does. In fact, one of the big things about evil, or things that are of the devil, that one of the things they do is it always causes us to move into a realm of lack of peace, a place where we're unsettled, a place where we feel like the Bible says, like the waves of the sea tossed and fro, back and forth. That is not what God has intended us to be. In fact, and it's such a travesty that so many Christians' lives look like this. They look like lives that are just tossed to and fro. There's never any strength. There's never any peace there. There's never any, rest there. And we're going to see that peace is exactly what our Lord exhibited. It's what he showed us in everything he did and everywhere he was. Peace was it's a word that would have described Jesus. One of my favorite accounts in the book of John talks about how John was at one point leaning up against the Lord. And you know, when you think about that, it said it literally, he was laying against him, laying against his bosom. And when you think about that, it's such an amazing testimony of our Lord, because Jesus was such a way in front of his disciples that one of them literally felt like it would be okay to lean against him. Yeah. That's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? That is a wonderful example of love. But what is that really? That is peace. That's what peace is. And we need to be people that are leaning against the Lord, not from the standpoint of in chaos, not from the standpoint because everything is torn apart, but because we trust him so much, because we believe in God so much, we believe that what he wants to do so greatly, that we can just rest against him, that we can be in peace. Amen. This is what God has said. He said, seek peace and pursue it. So, you know, I love when the Bible gives us these directions like this. You know, there's a lot of things that the Bible directs us to. There's a lot of people, a lot of things that people, Christians, are caught up in. They're, you know, do we follow this law and do we follow that law? Can we eat this food and can we eat that food and this and that? And should we, you know, can we go to church on Sundays or can we go on Saturdays too? Praise the Lord. All these different things that people get caught up in. And God said, don't seek it after all that stuff. He said, seek peace and pursue it. Amen. He said, don't be looking for all the rituals and all the things that you're trying to do, but seek peace and pursue it. Now, that doesn't mean that we just live a haphazard life and just float around like dumb and happy. Like I was talking to my wife this morning. I said, do I think sometimes that's the answer for my life? I just need to be dumb and happy. Amen. But she said, that ain't going to happen. So I just, praise the Lord. So I'm just going to live not dumb and I'll still be happy. Amen. But you know, sometimes, you know, there's people that walk around like that, dumb and happy. There's a lot of folks today. Actually, there's a lot of, I love, you see all these kids in college and they're protesting, doing all this stuff. And they're really dumb and happy. They think they're being intelligent. They think they're learning, but they haven't got out into the real world yet. And actually, there's been a study. I just recently saw a study of all these kids that are getting out of college. Are getting into the real world and they're deciding, wait a minute, it isn't quite like my professors taught me in school. Like, I'm actually going to have to work. People are actually going to say things that will hurt my feelings sometimes. People are actually going to do things that I don't like sometimes. Yeah. And that's okay. Actually, it's good for you. It's good that somebody hurts your feelings once in a while. Why? Because it makes you a little bit tougher. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's nothing worse than a lily. Amen. A lilies should be where lilies belong, and that's in the field, in a garden, in your flower bed, wherever, but on your windowsill, in a vase, praise the Lord, or in a vase, if you like to be fancy. But anywhere lilies belong, but not on humans, or not in humans. Humans should not be lilies. We were not made to be lilies, amen? Praise the Lord. We're made to be peaceful, but not lilies. We can be pretty, but not lilies, amen? Praise the Lord. I just love that. But we need to understand that we have to pursue peace. It's not enough to just seek after it. We're seeking after. When you pray to God for peace, if you're looking for peace, if you come to maybe another Christian or you come to your pastor and you say, I just need some peace in my life, you're seeking peace. And that's a good thing. Amen. But the Bible says not to just seek peace. It says to pursue it also. Amen. And so when peace is fleeting, or when it's fleeing, when it seems like it's going out the door, when it's running in a different direction, well, by God, you got to up and turn and go in that direction. Pursue peace. It says, God says, well, once you find peace, once you find out what peace is, you get after it like a dog on the hunt and you don't let it go. You go after it and after it and after it. And when something tries to rob you or stop you from it, you say, wait a minute, I'm on pursuit. Praise the Lord. Like Roscoe Pico train, hallelujah. I'm on hot pursuit, hallelujah. Remember what I'm talking about? Anybody remember the Dukes of Hazzard back in the day? Roscoe Pico train? He's in hot pursuit of them Duke boys, hallelujah. Well, that's how we need to be about peace. We need to be in hot pursuit. Actually, I looked up that word, pursue it, in the dictionary or in the concordance, in the Greek, in the get back in the Greek, and that's exactly what it said. It said, it quoted Roscoe Pico train, and it said, hot pursuit, praise the Lord. Now, if you don't believe me, you can get your own, but if you want to just go with me, you can be dumb and happy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we want to seek peace. Amen. The word peace here, now, the word peace is, there's different, this is Old Testament, this is Hebrew, praise the Lord, and it's a little bit different meaning, some of the ones we're going to get into, but it's important that we dig into it. The word peace means happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity. Completeness, soundness, with God, especially in covenant relationship. Praise the Lord. Happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity. These are all peace. Why would health and prosperity be in there? I love health and prosperity are something we hit on a lot, and that's because two main things that people are dealing with in life, for the most part, by and large, the two problems I see almost across the board is in health and prosperity. Yeah. Health and prosperity, and this is what God says that peace is. He says it's health and prosperity. Amen? Now, that's pretty exciting. That's exciting for me. God is, it says, with God, especially in covenant relationship. Praise the Lord. Now, that's important to understand, too, because covenant relationship should mean something to us. Amen? Yeah. Covenant is about what both sides get. Amen? How many married folks do we have in here? Praise the Lord. We got a bunch of them. How many people that have been married before do we have in here? Praise the Lord. We got a bunch more of them. Amen. So if you haven't, you got kind of get an idea. But even if you haven't been married, I want you to think about if you wanted to get married, what would you want out of your spouse? There's things you would desire, correct? Yeah. Isn't when we're on a spouse hunt, aren't we out looking for certain things? Yeah. Aren't we desiring certain things? Amen. We're desiring part of what they do for us. Now, we know that there's a part that we have to do for them. And if you don't know that, well, you're not ready to get married. Amen. Because you have to understand that being a spouse is not about you. It is about what you can give, mostly. And if both people live that way, then you also receive something. That is the ultimate covenant relationship. God has given us this marriage. He's given us this thing for us to understand our relationship with Him. God also has a covenant relationship with us. In fact, it's much better than being married. Amen? Does anybody here enjoys marriage? Praise the Lord. I enjoy my marriage because my marriage is a godly marriage. And if you have a godly marriage, you'll always enjoy it. Amen? But with God, it's so much better. Because it's a marriage that can't be broken. It's a marriage where actually it's more usually more one-sided than not. But you know, a lot of people, they look at life and they think, you know, they look at like God and they think, oh, it's what we have to do. We have to, a lot of religion will look at God like, oh, we come to God and then we live here on earth just serving Him and there's nothing in return. We get salvation someday. But how many know that if you had a marriage, you say, your spouse said to you, say, I'm not going to do anything for you for the next 50 years, but close to the end of your life, I'm going to start being nice to you. I'm going to start blessing you. You wouldn't want to be in that marriage, would you? God doesn't expect us to be in that kind of marriage with Him. He's in a marriage that there's give and take. He wants us, yes, He asks us to give Him things. He asks us to submit our lives to Him. Just like when you get married, what you do in your marriage vows is you say to your spouse, I'm submitting my life to you. I'm giving you my life. My life is no more just mine, but I'm giving it to you. And then your spouse says the same thing to you. And what is that? It's a give and take. You both receive something. Well, it's the same thing with God. He has not expected us to just live here and just struggle through life and maybe get to the end and maybe have prayers answered. No, He said, I'm going to give you a way to get through to the other side, and you're going to do so the way that, if you listen to me, you'll do so the way that I intended for you. God intends peace. He said, seek peace and pursue it. Be after it like a dog on the hunt, praise the Lord. Don't give up on it, amen? Praise the Lord. It doesn't make sense to say, serve me all these days of your life and all you get is something in the end. Not that salvation is little and not worth serving God all the days of our life for. It is. But God is a loving God. And you know this yourself. When you love somebody, I love that my wife loves me. Why? Because when my wife loves me, she loves to show me that she loves me. She does things that blesses me. She'll scratch that itch on my back. You know what I'm saying? She'll rub my shoulder sometimes. Amen? She'll just do things because she loves me. Sometimes she'll just make me something because she loves me. Heck, she just buys me things sometimes because she loves me, amen? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That's exactly what our God does. He's always trying to get to us something else. He's like, I want you to live in that place of peace. That place of peace is where you're not worried. That's what true prosperity is. It isn't just having a big bank account. True prosperity is being in the blessing of God to the point where you just always know that things are going to be good. Right. That's true prosperity. Never worrying about where you're going to pay a bill. That's true prosperity. Never worrying about how you're going to get over this next obstacle or this next problem. That is our God. And that's what peace is. In fact, we understand this, that peace, if you really want to pursue God, you could say this, seek peace and pursue God. Because if you pursue God, you're going to find peace. You can't pursue God and not have peace in your life. In fact, it's no matter what turmoil, we'll have moments. You understand? I've had moments this weekend. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had many moments this weekend where I just wasn't feeling it. Where I just wasn't feeling like being a Christian, where I wasn't feeling like I wanted to be a pastor, when I wasn't feeling like I wanted to do good, I was just, there was times where I just fed up with it all and just wanted to leave it behind. Why? Because I'm human. Because you're human, you deal with the same thing. If you had any moment this week where you were just like, you know what? I just to hell with it all. You ever felt like that? We go through that, right? I didn't swear. No, I didn't say to hell with it all. I mean, literally send it all to hell. Let it all burn. That's exactly what I mean. I didn't swear. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Well, how many times did you feel like? And if you think that's a swear word, well, praise the Lord, I swore in church today. Glory to God. But The Bible says hell. It's in the Bible. You want me to go into other words that the Bible says? We pull out the King James Version, and we'll have a good old time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll do it. Don't you get me going. Hallelujah. You know I will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where was I going with that? But yeah, there's days where that's exactly what you feel like. You feel like you just wanna you just wanna kick everybody in the pants. You know what I mean? You don't want to be, but see, listen, when we follow God, even though we have those days, there's always a moment on the other side. There's always something that we have to look forward to, and God will bring you out if you love him, if you're seriously after him, if you're seeking peace and pursuing it. And seeking peace and pursuing it doesn't mean that every single second of your life, you're doing everything perfectly. What it means is that you're spending your life with the goal of finding God, that you're always endeavoring to be better. You're not being perfect. You're endeavoring to be better. How's that sound? Amen. We're just trying to be Christians that are doing right by God. Amen. That doesn't mean that everything you ever do will be perfect, but it means that if you keep seeking, that's what seeking God and pursuing him is. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can get distracted sometimes, but we ultimately want to come back to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's turn to Romans 12:18. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Peace is what we need, folks. Peace is what we need. It's the answer to all our problems. You might hear me say that every once in a while. It's the answer to all your problems, whatever I'm preaching about. But you know, the truth is, as long as you're in this word, it's the answer to all your problems. As long as you stay in line with what the word teaches, it's the answer to all that you're going through. Praise the Lord. What does Romans 12:18 say? It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Amen? Praise God. If it is possible, as much as... Now listen, when it says if it is possible, that is not talking about your part, it's talking about their part. And what I mean by that is you say, well, listen, I wanted to live in peace with them, God, but I just can't. It's just not possible for me to do that. No, that's not what he's talking about. It is always possible for you to do right. It is always possible for you to make the best decision. What he's saying by if it is possible, sometimes the other people won't comply. And when other people don't comply, well, you do your best. But that's all it is. Now, I will say this, that there's time when somebody else won't comply with living peacefully with you. And what do you got to do? You got to separate yourselves from them. Because that's also what this means. If it is possible, as much as it's up to you, you will live in peace at all times. This is one of the reasons why we know, even though that divorce isn't something that God desires, that there's times where it's necessary. I lived in an example like this. I was married once, and there was no peace in the relationship. There could be no peace there. It wasn't going to be had. And so what had to happen? It had to come to a divorce. That wasn't God's will. If I had listened to God more ahead of time, I would have never gotten into that marriage. Why? Because God knows. But see, I didn't know to listen to God like that. Well, I did know, but I was, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for it. Praise the Lord, because I made a lot of bad decisions there. And that was one of them, was going forward with something that I knew probably wasn't good to go forward with. Because God is always good to warn us. Amen. But you know, this is the case. Sometimes we have to let things go that aren't profitable, that aren't peaceful. Amen. It says, as much as it depends on you, live in peace with all men. I love Dr. Dufresne. He's a man of God that we follow. Of course, he's gone home to be with the Lord now. But he used to tell us, seek peace at all costs. You know, he had people, because he had a bigger ministry and stuff like that, he had people that would come up with frivolous lawsuits, because they do that. And there's something in this nation that likes to allow people to have frivolous lawsuits. You know, when you can sue anybody over anything. Listen, Christians, be seeking to sue anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Why? Because we let God, you know, the Bible says in Exodus 14:14, it says, the Lord will fight for you, you shall hold your peace. Now you understand, like there's times where there's things, I'm talking about frivolously just suing people, suing your neighbor because of this, or suing a company. I'm not talking about if you know, a company actually like wronged, or something actually wronged you or something, or caused an accident or something, you know what I mean, a drunk driver caused an accident and then it caused you so you couldn't work. Of course, in that case, I'm not talking about like that, you know. I'm talking about just these frivolous lawsuits that people come up with for no reason, just because really what they want is they just want money. They just want an easy way to get money. Amen. Praise the Lord. We know of this happening, and I'm sure you've heard of it too. I used to see this. Oh, praise the Lord. I worked in a factory for many years, and I used to see this kind of garbage all the time. I see people just trying to get an easy way out, and so they do something. Oh, I hurt my pinky, and so then now the company needs to pay me for the next 20 years or 50 years or something like that. You know, it's like, I'm not talking about something that was legitimate, you know, but you know there was a lot of that kind of stuff going on, and I got caught up in that too. But, well, praise the Lord. We are to seek peace. And I was telling you about Dr. Dufresne. He would have people frivolously sue him, and there was times where he just settled just to have the peace. I'm talking about one guy sued him for like $20,000 or $50,000, something like that. He settled with him out of court just to have the peace. Well, it didn't go well for the guy that did that. Why? Because the Lord will fight for you. The Bible says that the Lord will avenge you. That guy actually ended up having chaos in his life. Dr. Dufresne never had to do anything. But see, he sought peace, and God blessed him and multiplied him for that. Sometimes peace will cost you. I said, sometimes peace will cost you. Sometimes you're going to have to pay out to have peace. But guess what? When you do so, I'm talking about in your own life. I'm not asking you for an offering here, so don't get mad at me, praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, I'm talking about in your own life. There are times in your own life where you may have to pay out just to have peace. Praise the Lord. I know all about that. I'm not going to go into details, but I know all about paying out just to have peace. Praise the Lord. I've done it many times in my life, and I'm not talking about being wrong either. I'm just saying, you know what? I ain't going to fight this because it ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it. What fight is worth it? The fight of faith. That's the only fight that we're called to fight. Any other fight, you don't need to fight. If you're fighting any other fight than the good fight of faith, you are fighting faith, or you are not living in peace. You are not seeking peace and pursuing it. Why? Because the Bible says the Lord will fight for you. Says he will fight for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Pray. I don't know. Some of you look at me like you're awfully mad at me. I don't know. But praise the Lord. I'm just going to preach the word. And if you want to connect to it, fine. If you don't, well, praise God for you. We love you anyways. We'll seek peace and pursue it. Glory to God. And as much as it's up to us, we'll keep doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We don't want to be Christians that are unhappy with the word of God. We want to be Christians that get changed by it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are living in a day and age where anti-peace is being perpetuated. Yeah. If you ever turn on the news in recent times, the lack of peace is being perpetuated. Yeah. These are just some things I grabbed off. I just swept through some headlines real quick, and that's where this all came to me. I had prepared the message, and I just decided as I was getting ready this morning, I just decided I was going to just look at the news real quick, just the headlines. And these are just kind of snippets of some of the headlines. Lord, this is just true stuff. Killer robots. We got to watch out for killer robots. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you legitimate news sources. This, I'm telling you the truth. Killer robots. Amen. So-and-so grabbed somebody's butt. Someone said something hurtful to somebody else. You know, this bachelorette is going to tell all. Some actor thinks you need to think and live differently because you are the problem. I'm just telling you, there's things like all this stuff. People, all these things that get people distracted by what? Who cares? Listen, people shouldn't go around grabbing people's butts. I'm not advocating for butt grabbing, amen? But I don't need to know what butt some actor grabbed 10, 15 years ago. It doesn't matter to me. It ain't going to change my life at all. And you don't need to know it either. That's between them and them. If there was really a problem there, let them fix it. We don't need everybody to know about it. I don't need to know about it, amen? I don't really even care about it, to tell you the truth. Killer robots? Well, if AI is creating killer robots and they're going to destroy everything, there ain't a whole lot I can do about it anyways. Amen. I can barely use my smartphone. What am I going to do about killer robots? Guess I'm just going to have to pray. Live in peace at all times. What are you going to do about killer robots? If you can do something about killer robots, look me up afterwards. Praise the Lord. We'll make a game plan together. Other than that, let's just live here dumb and happy, because that's all we're going to be able to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Someone said something hurtful to someone else. Oh, this person was fired for this. This company was fired. Who cares? Who cares? Who really cares? Does it really matter to you that someone way over here says something hurtful? People say hurtful things to people every single day, and nothing ever gets said about it. Who cares? What's it doing? It's perpetuating lack of peace, because it stirs people up and they get mad about it. And now we got a campaign against it, and we're gonna go stand outside someone's office, or we're gonna go to someone in a restaurant, or we're gonna find someone here or find someone there, and we're gonna hold up signs, because don't you know they said something hurtful to somebody else while they were grabbing their butt. I don't care. I don't want to know. It doesn't. It's not going to change my life at all. It isn't helping me live this life for God. It's not getting people saved. It's not. It's actually not helping even those people. Is it helping somebody? I mean, if somebody grabbed your butt, do you want? I know I keep going on this, but this is just a good place to be. Amen. If somebody grabbed your butt, do you want it posted all over every poster everywhere? If you do, there's something wrong with you. I'm just telling you the truth. If you need, well, see, this is where they grabbed it, right here, like that. That's why a lot of people, because they want to show everybody. But that's not, listen, this is the kind of stuff that we are just bombarded with, and it doesn't, I don't care what news agency you listen to, it's all the same. It's just a different spin on the same garbage. We are perpetuating it in this society. Why do you think that's happening? What are you laughing about? We are perpetuating it in this society. The devil is behind all of it. He is trying to cause an uproar and a stir in everybody's life. You know, a few weeks ago, it was actually a little bit longer than that, I preached a message about being offended and people running around talking smack about everybody and saying this and saying that. And everybody's got to, you know, listen, if you've got a cause that you've got to, you have to get out, and it's anything other than doing the work of the Lord, it ain't worth it. Right. Your cause ain't worth it. I'm just telling you the truth, it's not worth it. Well, praise the Lord, because you can change everything by following God in prayer. Everything. Now, of course, you know, it's my job to say things at times. There's things I have to say. I have to put out there. You know, I have to talk about issues sometimes because Christians need to know these things. The reason that the church has failed so much in recent times is because pastors stopped preaching the truth and Christians are out there making dumb decisions. Christians are out there doing things that no Christian on earth should ever do. Doing it and accepting it. They can't even see the truth. Well, praise the Lord. James 3:13, why don't we go over there? But we're after peace and pursuing it. Amen? I want peace in my life. And we're going to see here why it matters. We're going to see here why and what part we have to play in it. Amen? James 3:13. Look at this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness, in the meekness of wisdom. So first of all, if you're wise, what are you going to do? You're going to show by your good conduct. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't say anything about talking. It doesn't say, you know, you got to state your case. You got to justify this. You got to justify that. So it doesn't say anything about that, does it? It says let him show by his good conduct. In other words, it shows by what you do. Yep. Back up what you say. If you are a good person, you will show it in your actions. Yep. Plain and simple. Your mouth can say anything it wants, but your actions are what shows who you are. Yep. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Amen. And praise the Lord. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy, it's easy for me to say, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. That wisdom, or this wisdom, what? Bitter envy and self-seeking. What is bitter envy? And so, bitter envy is insisting that you have what someone else has. And self-seeking is insisting that you have what you want. Yeah. Self-seeking is that, no, it's all about me. My pastor always uses this, you're the drain in the bathtub. What do you know about drain in the bathtub? When you have a bathtub full of water and you got all the floaty toys in it, when you take the plug out of the drain, it starts swirling, right? And everything goes to the drain. And that's what a self-seeking person is. They want everything to come to them. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. They're just sucking everything in, amen? Nobody likes a drain. Because what does a drain do? It sucks everything out of there, right? Including the life. You listen to a drain. You ever been around a person that's a drain? What does it do? It sucks the life right out of you, doesn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes as a pastor, I have to be around people that are drains. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've had this more times than I can count, and I don't enjoy it. Have I had any recently? I don't think I've had any recently. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So if you met with me recently, you ain't a drain. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Or at least I'm not telling you are. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. No, but we don't want to be drains. We don't want to be those people. I mean, if there's any, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people, when I find out a flaw, like when I really find out a flaw in myself, we all have flaws, right? Yeah. Anybody don't have flaws? Good, we don't have to stone anyone today. Praise the Lord. You got to stone people that lie. That's what the Bible says, right? That's what, the Old Testament. Hallelujah. But you know, when I find out a flaw, man, it bothers me. You know, especially if you find out a flaw that you've been doing, it's kind of like finding out you got a booger on your nose. You know what I'm saying? Like, but not just, it's not like just in the, you know, we get in the car and my wife might look over and she'll go like, okay, that doesn't bother me. But when I've been preaching for an hour and somebody comes up to me, oh yeah, by the way, for the last hour you had this big old booger on your nose. You know what I'm, nobody's done that yet because I'm going to clean up and make sure, I got my wife in the front row and make sure. But you know what I'm saying? It's embarrassing. Like afterwards, you're like, you kind of feel a little icky about it. You're like, oh man. And then you start thinking, oh, I had this conversation and that conversation. Well, it's the same thing when we got flaws in our life, right? There's something you find out. And when I find out I got some real character flaw or something that people, whatever, rubs people the wrong way, it instantly bothers me. I want to fix it. Yeah. Amen. That's the way we should be. Actually, as Christians, that's what we're called to. Actually, if you look at love, you know, love says, the law of love, if you look in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, it talks about what love is, what love truly is. One of the things it says, and I love this, it says, love does not behave rudely. That is rude when you're always thinking about yourself. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. We don't want to be people that just think about ourselves. Bitter envy and self-seeking. Amen? Praise God. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Wow, it's demonic. The Bible just called it demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, look at this, confusion and every evil thing are there. This is why we see what we're seeing in our nation today. Because what's happening is people are they're with bitter envy and self-seeking. Oh, this person has this and I want it. I deserve it. I deserve what they have. Why? Well, because I deserve it. Because I don't have it, so I must deserve it. That's bitter envy and self-seeking. You don't deserve anything just because you're human. You don't. What do you deserve? You deserve life. Praise the Lord, you've been given life. But some people don't even deserve that. I'm just telling you the truth. Some people don't live up to life. Some people aren't living. I know for years I didn't deserve life. Why? Because I wasn't living. I was ruining everything that I came across. I was living for my own way, my own plan. I was doing what I wanted to do. I wasn't deserving of life. I wasn't deserving of Jesus dying on the cross for me. The Bible tells us that. So don't look at me like I'm bad for saying that we don't even deserve life sometimes. Praise the Lord. But everybody's running around like they deserve, like they're owed something. Why are you owed anything? What makes you so special that you're owed something that somebody else has? Nothing. See, but nobody's talking about this stuff. They say that we're haters if we say something like that. It's ridiculous that people, but this is the prevalent mindset in our society that everybody deserves something. Well, you talk to, go talk to some World War II vets if there's, many left, but go find a World War II vet and ask them about deserving. Go ask somebody who went through the Holocaust, ask them about deserving. Go ask somebody who's been, enslaved. Go to a third world country. Start talking to them about deserving. You see, people in this country, they're bellyaching about it's like I said, the poor in this country are fat. And I don't just mean that, naturally, but they're fat. They have more than enough. Yeah, listen, I spent only a few days in a third world country, in Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil. And I'm going to tell you something. I came back here and I still say the same thing. There is no such thing as poverty in America. Yeah. Not when you go to a place like that. There is no such thing as poverty. And you deserve what? You deserve a cell phone? Because some human right gives you a cell phone? You understand what I'm saying. But people have this mentality. People out there. And they wonder why there's no peace. It's because confusion and every evil thing are there. When people are out there with bitter envy and self, what is bitter envy? It's when it's not just jealous of somebody having something, but you're bitter about it. Oh, I gotta make it mine. I'm just not happy. It's gotta be mine, and so I'm gonna go after it with everything that's in me because I deserve it. It's mine. And so that's bitter envy. You know, I can be envious of somebody. I can see something nice somebody has and have a little envy or a little jealousy. Have you ever had that? I know you probably haven't, but I have, praise the Lord. And there's been times where you see somebody else with something that you really want or you really desire. Praise the Lord. I had a little bit, my nephew, I have a nephew, Griffin, some of you might know him, love Griffin. Griffin just got a Jeep. I've always wanted a Jeep. And I'm going to tell you, and I've had the ability to get a Jeep, I just haven't got one because, you know, I have family and stuff like that. It just wasn't conducive to that at the time, but it's getting real close to time where it's getting conducive. I'm just telling you the truth. But at any rate, so Griffin got a Jeep, and he posted it on Instagram, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's pretty cool. It was a cool-looking Jeep. You know, I was excited for him. But then I was a little bit jealous. I'm like, Griffin got a Jeep. He's not even 21 years old yet. He's got a Jeep. I wanted a Jeep ever since the first time I remember seeing a Jeep. It was like the G.I. Joe figures, you know? And I'm like, and I remember playing, I wanted a G.I. Joe Jeep. I never got a G.I. Joe Jeep. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, this bitter envy here, you know, it's coming out. And I had a little bit of jealousy. I felt that, you know, everybody deals with that. Yeah, I'm not really just, I'm excited for him. I did tell him he has to let his uncle drive it, but which I'm going to try to do tonight. Praise the Lord. I already got a plan all figured out. I know he's not going to be there. What the heck, man? I'm not coming then. That's all there is to it. Wait, you having cake? I'll be there. Praise the Lord. So, my brother's birthday, it was the other day, and today we're having a party for him. But praise God, we all have those moments where we have jealousy. But what if I went after him about it? What if I started campaigning it? That's exactly what people are doing. That's bitter envy and self-seeking. And what does the Bible say? It says that confusion and every evil thing are there. Confusion and every evil thing. Why? Nobody can make sense of anything. Have you turned on the news recently or recent times and gone, what is going on? Is this the same America that I live in? Is this the same America that I was raised in? What is happening here? Really, it's confusion in every evil thing. People that are now they're saying, well, you know that because you, I can't have what you have, now I'm going to attack you for it. And I'm going to be justified in attacking you. Why do you think of what's happened is happening? Because people don't have the peace of the Word of God. They don't have the peace. They're not seeking God. See, if you seek God, this is the wonderful thing about it. Can I tell you something? I'm going to share something with you about God. When you seek God, He'll give you. The Bible says, let's just turn there. Let's go to Psalm. We're going to come back there. Hold your place there. I'm going to take my thing and put it there. Psalm 37. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37. I'm going to show you because you won't believe me unless I show you. Amen? Psalm 37. And verse 4. What does it say here? It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You don't got to be bitter envy about it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll make sure you have the desires of your heart. He says he will give you the desires of your heart. This is not the weird Jeff Michener translation. This is the word of God. He will give you the desire. God wants, why do you think he says you can live in peace? Because if you understand that you trust him, he gives you the desires of your heart, then it's no problem. You won't be in a lack of peace because you know it's coming. Amen? God said to seek peace and pursue it. He said to seek his word and pursue it. Amen? Seek him and pursue it. Praise the Lord. All these things are found there. Amen? Amen. No glory to God. Amen. So where were we? Did we go back to, we were at verse 15, James 3:15. So this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So this is why we have to move ourselves out of that realm of envy and self-seeking, because we need to get to the place where we're not, where the demons have rule, amen? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. There's that word. See, that's what I told you. Peaceable is a form of that, right? Peaceable, gentle. Look at this word. Look at this. The wisdom that is from above. This means the wisdom that is from heaven, from God himself, right? What is it? Willing to yield. Willing to yield to who? Well, I don't know. The Bible said that as much as it's up to you, live in peace with all men. So I guess it'd be willing to yield to anybody. Now, that doesn't mean to yield to a lack of truth. We understand. Don't just yield to something that's not true. Like, oh, you want to be full of sin. Oh, that's okay. That's fine. No, that's not what it's talking about. Praise the Lord. But it's willing to yield your own way. Maybe I don't want to, you know, praise God. A great example of this, when I travel with my pastor. Josh got to experience this. Amen. When I travel with my pastor, what do? I yield to his way. I was looking for a restaurant to go to. I'm kind of a foodie. My wife and I are kind of foodies. We don't just like fast food joints. We don't like regular restaurants. We like to find the cool place and somewhere that's got real good food. You know, food that actually tastes good. Not the garbage food that McDonald's wants to feed you. But McDonald's food is okay, you understand, in a pinch, but you always regret it afterwards. I've never eaten McDonald's food and afterwards thought, man, I'm glad I ate that. But praise the Lord. But at any rate, you know, we're kind of food, and I'm looking for something. I want a sub or something. It's lunchtime. I want a sub or something. I want something that isn't going to make me feel like, you know, I should have gone to the bathroom an hour ago, praise the Lord, because if I had, then I would have had more room and maybe wouldn't have had to go so bad now in emergency. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? When you eat, you know, you eat McDonald's, there's always, McDonald's is movement food. If you want to have a movement, praise the Lord, you go to McDonald's and you praise God. So I'm looking for something, and my pastor, he loves Wendy's. I'll tell you what, there's three main burger chains that we all think of. There's Burger King, McDonald's, and Wendy's. And I'm going to tell you what, in my mind, there's two burger chains, and neither one of them are Wendy's. But my pastor, he's like, we drive right by this real great sub place, doesn't want to stop. He finds this other place. He's like, oh, here's Wendy's. Let's see the one. We just stop at Wendy's. I'm like, oh, glory. So I put on the smile, order me a chicken sandwich, and just try to live life happy. Amen. Willing to yield. He doesn't know. I don't even know if he might know that I hate Wendy's, but I don't really make deal. I may joke about it or whatever, but I don't make it. I mean, I hate it. I don't want to go there. I can't stand. I don't know why. I'm not going to get into it. I just don't like it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you may love Wendy's, and that's great. You love that. I do like the Frosties. The Frosties are okay, but the chocolate Frosties, not the vanilla Frosties. I don't know who would waste their time with vanilla, but my wife would. Amen. But the wisdom is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now look at this. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So what's the fruit of righteousness? It's the same thing as the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to look at them in a second here, but that's exactly what it is. The fruits of righteousness are the things that come out of being righteous. There's fruit. You know, we never think of fruit as a bad thing. The fruit of something is a good thing, right? The fruit of an orange tree is something you want to partake of if you like oranges. If you like apples, then the fruit of an apple tree is something that's good. Well, the fruit of righteousness is good things. It's the good things that come out of righteousness. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the fruit of righteousness is sown. In other words, you can show, you know, the Bible says that whatever you sow that you shall reap. Amen? So if you're sowing righteousness, it's, if you want peace, it's sown when you sow peace. If you live peaceably, if you live peacefully, if you don't live that way, you're not sowing it and you don't have the fruit of it. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Galatians 5:22 and 23. I just want to pull it up here. You can write it down if you want to look at it later. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If you operate in these things, the Bible says there's no law. True love. If you operate in true love, in peace, law against it. You can't do wrong. If you just focus on these things for your life, you focus on these things. But see, these things aren't going to come out of a person who's sowing strife. These things aren't going to come out of a person who's not sowing peace. These things aren't going to come out of a person who's bitter envy and self-seeking. If you're in it for yourself, you're not going to see these things. Keep seeking it. You won't ever find it. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go back to James 4, because we were right there. We ended chapter 3. Let's go to 4:1. Amen. What's it say here? I want to see where I'm reading to. Okay, verse 8. We're going to go through verse 8. But it says, where do wars, praise God, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. God's given us a very important principle for us to understand here. People are contending for things all the time, and God said that's why you don't have them. He said you don't have because you're just not asking. But all these things you're doing, you'll get in a fight. What happens when someone dies? And then all the siblings get mad about, who inherited this and who inherited this? Guess what? If you know who your God is, you don't care what you inherit. Because none of that stuff matters to you. Praise the Lord. If my mom leaves me $1 million, praise the Lord. If she leaves me nothing, praise the Lord. It does not matter because she ain't my God. But she can leave me $1 million. Hallelujah. You leave my brother a few bucks too, but... No, we're just going to keep her until Jesus comes back. We ain't getting rid of her. But you know what I mean? Some people are so worried about the inheritance and stuff like that. It does not matter. Even if it's something that meant something to you, but somebody else takes it, is it worth it for you to lose your peace? Absolutely not. Because that thing, along with everything else on this earth, is going to burn up into fire. It'll be nothing. It will all be destroyed. Nothing. It won't mean anything. And I learned a long time ago not to hold on to things. You know, there's things I like. I got this nice rug that I inherited from my grandma. She made it like 60 plus years ago. I love it, but I'm going to tell you right now, if it was gone, I've learned how to give up. I'd be sad about it, but I'm not going to destroy a relationship over it. Now, kids broke one of my favorites. I almost destroyed a few relationships over that. But I got over it. My wife bought me another mug and I was happy. Amen. You know, and it just goes, but sometimes we get so wrapped up over things that don't matter, just don't mean anything. And it's like the whole time God said, seek him. Like, seriously, God's saying, seek him. Is all this stuff worth it? Is all this stuff that you're seeking after, is it worth giving up God for? Is it worth giving up the joy and the peace that God wants to give you? Imagine that. Imagine living every day in peace and no turmoil. Every day in peace, you can do it. Why? Because the Bible says you can do it. You can. The Bible says that in the midst of, you know the 23rd Psalm, the one that we all love, the one that grandma's got cross-stitched on a doily somewhere, you know what I'm talking about? That Psalm, that everybody like, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. You comfort me in the presence of my enemies. He prepares a table, the scripture tells us. He prepares a meal in the presence of our enemies. What can you do? He said, if God be for you, what can man do against you? Who can be against you, he says, actually. It's in Romans, but praise the Lord. If God is for you, who can be against you? There's nothing that can come against you. None of it matters. Right. It doesn't matter. See, we put too much importance on things that don't matter. That's why people get all screwed up. Well, I don't know which way I should vote. I don't know which way I should do. Listen, you just follow God. You'll know which way to vote. Right. You'll know what to do. You'll know what you can be for and what you'll be against. You know, you gotta figure it out. Amen? Oh, praise God. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. See, there's some people that just, and this is where the balance is to that desires of your heart. You can't just go to God and say, hey, I want my neighbor's wife, because it doesn't work that way. Because he also said, don't covet. You know, you can't just go and say, oh, I want what they have. No. Lord, you seek the Lord for what the desires of your heart, not just things. But see, if you're a person that's just greedy for you, he ain't blessing you with nothing. So don't think it applies to you. Praise the Lord. Because there's also the other things that come into play. You have to be willing to yield. You have to be willing to prefer other people above yourselves. Amen. This is why so many Christians don't see the blessing of God, because they can't. They can't even come to church and prefer other Christians themselves. They only come to church for themselves. They only do things. Everything is always about themselves. Even when they do something good, they do it because it blesses them to know that they did something good. I know many people like this. Oh, and it's always those people that got to talk about everything that they're doing. Oh, I did this and I did that. Oh, great. Praise the Lord. You did a wonderful thing. God, Jesus said, you've received your reward. You get no reward from him. He ain't blessing you for it. You received, because all you cared about was telling everybody how good you are, how good you did. Amen. Well, pray. You all know somebody like that. Maybe you know many people like that. I hope nobody in here is like that. Maybe you are. I don't know. Praise God. I'm just preaching the word. Amen. Verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So you can be buddies with all that garbage that's going on. You can be friends with all that stuff that's going on. But it says you're an enemy of God. I'm guessing you probably don't want to be an enemy with God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Yes, it says that about him. He's jealous for you. God is not okay with you giving up something for him. or giving up something, or giving up him for something, I should say. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But he gives gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is God's ability. Remember that. Amen? Therefore, because of all that, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yeah. See, people who follow God in this way, it says to resist the devil, and he'll flee. The devil does it. Does the scripture say fight the devil?
No.
Exodus 14:4. Look it up. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Yeah. That's what it says. You'll hold your peace. Resist the devil. This only happens in people who aren't bitter and bitter envy, self-seeking, just trying to do their own thing. Yeah. Amen. But people who are actually after God, or they're seeking peace and pursuing it. Say, I want more of God in my life. Why? Because there's more peace in my life then. And when there's more peace in my life, then I give peace to other people. Why? Because you ever notice when you're around a calm person, it kind of calms things down? Yeah. What do? We send in a mediator, right? We send in somebody to calm them down, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's why President Trump's got to have a lot of mediators, because he likes to stir things up. So got to send in people, calm them down, okay? Come on, Kim Jong-un, just sit down and, you know, just calm down. We want to work things out, amen? You know, we want to, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Yeah. See, that's the thing about seeking peace and pursue it. If it's seeking God, you're seeking him, you're drawing near to him, and he draws near to you. Yeah. What happens when God draws near to you? I don't know if you'd heard yet, but our God is a redeeming God. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is a God who walks on water. Our God is a God who heals all your diseases. Our God is a God who made the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. Hallelujah. Our God is a God of more than enough. Our God is a God of always can, never, never can't. Praise the Lord. Our God always can. So when you draw near to God and that God draws near to you, guess what? Everything that's with him draws near to you too. His ability will get off on you and it'll start making you be able to do things that you couldn't do before. See, this is why we tell people, draw near to God. Stop being self-motivated. Stop being in it just for yourself. Draw near to God and then see the power of God actually work in your life, because it does. It does. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's a double-minded person? Oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church. And then as soon as you leave, you go out there in the world and you live just like the rest of them. Praise the Lord. You're out there drinking. You're out there smoking the drugs that they're drinking. You're out there doing or smoking. You're doing all the things just like the world does. Listen, we are not called to these things. You are not called to be high or drunk in anything. You're called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's those things that cause destruction. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just preaching the truth. Yeah. Preaching it so much, the phone turns off. Phone's like, I'm after peace. Glory to God. It's just a joke. Amen. Real quick, go to Hebrews. Are we close to time? We got time? A little bit, no?
Yeah, a little bit,
okay. She says I got a little bit. So I got to discern that. I'm just going to seek the Lord here. What does that mean, Lord? What's a little bit mean? Oh, okay, all right. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Praise God. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're a person who's living in anti-peace all the time, you're not living in holiness. And the Bible says if you don't live with holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. That's important. We need to preach this in churches. Amen?
Yeah.
Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. What do they become defiled by? The root of bitterness.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's a temptation. There's a temptation in me to get bitter about things sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, as a pastor, you want to run hard. You want to run fast. With a pastor that follows the Holy Ghost, you want to run into all things. And you know that you need people to go with you. And sometimes the people resist you. Actually, every time the people resist you. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Most of the time, people are resistant to the things of God. And it takes time to get people into things. And you see things all the time that could be happening, but aren't happening because people are resisting it. And what happens? Sometimes bitterness. I have to watch that. I have to protect myself against that. Not to get bitterness, not to be bitter about people that don't care. You have people that you have people, as a pastor, you'll have people in your life, people that come and sit in your church, and you care more about their future than they do. You do. You want to see them raised up in the power of God, and you can see the gifts and the blessing that God wants to do in their lives, and yet they reject it for the things of the world. They reject it because they're not interested. They reject it because they're bored. They reject it because, well, you know, this or that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can tell you countless of times I've seen this, and there's a temptation to get bitter. But praise the Lord. When my son and the worship team were doing that song today, the new song that we did, praise the Lord. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes because that's exactly what I got to focus on. It's about your people, Lord. It's about what you want to do. Use me, God. I want to be used. Hallelujah. I ain't going to get bitter. I ain't going to allow bitterness to take me out. I ain't going to allow bitterness to ruin my ministry. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just saying these are things that we all contend with all the time. This isn't just like, oh, pastor's going through it. No, it's just something that we deal with. Amen? Praise the Lord. We don't want to be defiled by bitterness. Why? Because it's not peace. It's bitter envy and self-seeking. Why? Because I want it more than they do. Who cares? It's not up to me to want it for you. It just isn't. If you want to follow God, great. If you don't, that's not my job. My job is drive that bus. I keep driving it. Get on, stay on, get off. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. But I got to just keep doing what I'm called to do. Amen? Just got to be dumb and happy. Praise the Lord. I wanted to define peace back there, though. It says, pursue peace with all people. The peace here in the New Testament means rest, quietness, security, safety, prosperity. I didn't make that up. Felicity. Oh, I don't know what that is. I know who she is, but I don't know what that is. Praise God. And I don't really know who she is. I just remember hearing about her. Amen. Because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Hallelujah. Things that are peaceful are places that will be prosperous. You know, heaven isn't an uproar. I mean, it's an uproar in the sense that somebody says, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. And then people can break out of their skins and start running around dancing and shouting, hallelujah. Yeah, they get like that. Yeah. Oh, they make us Pentecostals look like we're just like, you know, they make us look like the Baptists, hallelujah. I'm just telling you, praise the Lord. But that ain't insulting. I'm just, this is the way it is. You know, there's progressions of excitement. You get up to heaven, but there's peace there. Yeah. There's still waters. Amen? Praise. I ate that 5 minutes up, didn't I? And praise the Lord. Isaiah 26, 3, and the 3 and 4. Let me just read it to you. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Trusting in God is where our strength is. Amen. That's where our peace is. Trusting in him. Praise God. I'm not going to get to some of these. Oh, I had a whole lot of other scriptures. Maybe I'll continue at some other time. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just sit in my phone forever and the those killer robots will find it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to end with this. It's Job 22, 21. And it's in the Amplified. I want to read it in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will. And be at peace. By that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. Look what the Bible says. Look what peace does in our lives. How many times today did I mention prosperity? And then the word just keeps bringing it out. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in peace. So what's he saying? Chillax, man. What is that other thing? YOLO. No, that's not good. Chillax was probably better. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you do only live once. So live it for God. Live in the peace of God. Yeah, that's good. See, I knew I was doing it. Don't you judge me. Praise God. No, I need her there judging the service. She needs to help me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By that, by peace, be at peace, conform to his will. You'll be at peace and great, and you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. We are living testaments of this. Hallelujah. If you knew my life 15 years ago, talk to this woman here or that woman over there. They saw some things. I'm just telling you, just look. If you knew my life 20 years ago, Just have a conversation with them and ask them how bad it was. Ask them what it was. My life is a testament to the peace of God changing it and doing great things and making us prosper. When I say prosper, I don't mean financial. I mean every area. I mean in everything. We have prospered financially, but we've prospered in our health. We've prospered in our life. We prosper in our marriage. We prosper in our families. We prosper when we want to go somewhere. Praise the Lord. I just gave this example. You want to? I've told you before. Can I give one real quick example? I know you're itching to go, but we got to just one real quick example of how God blesses us financially. It's important to me to look nice when I you may not think I do, but I want to look nice when I get into the pool. I don't need you to tell me. I just tell you, it's important to me when I come before God that I'm dressed appropriately, that I'm dressed right when I preach the word of God. Amen. And so I always look for good deals on nice clothes, because I don't just have a lot of money to go out there and necessarily spend on things. The other day I was in the store. To this store, and I found, to make a long story even shorter, or even longer story shorter, I found this suit, and I ended up getting this suit. It was $1,000 suit, and I end up getting $1,000 suit and $300-$400 worth of ties for $1.23. Because I'm blessed. Because I'm blessed. Because I'm blessed. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with but I'm going to tell you something. You put on a $1,000 suit, it feels better than a JCPenney suit. It just does. But if you can do it for $1.23, you can't go to the Salvation Army and buy a suit for $1.23. What is it? The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Praise the Lord. God will bless you. He will give you favor. The Bible says that favor will surround us as with a shield. Favor will surround us as with a shield. That means where you go places, all of a sudden, like, people will give you things. Things will happen for you. You'll find the deals. You'll go in at just the right time and come out with three times as much as anyone else's. Why? Because God loves you most. Hallelujah. God wants to bless us. He wants to increase us. And above all, he wants us to live in peace. And the peace is great, knowing that I ain't got to worry about how to buy a $1,000 suit, because when other people did, praise the Lord, they spent $1,000 on it. I spent $123. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God loves me. You see what I'm saying? So we can find things like this is what our life should be. This is what God wants them to be. Praise the Lord. Now, all you took away from that is $1,000 suit. Well, praise the Lord. Get off the bus. I'm just kidding. Stay on the bus and learn something.